Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Nixendoy Kokkibbles Show. My name is Nixendoy Kokkibbles, the namesake for this here podcast. Indeed, I have said I would do this podcast starting today, and here we are. Now, things will be slow at first, as I will indeed be using Wavelake initially in order to host this series to get an audience who wants to hear my two cents on gaming, TTRPGs, music, music production, and of course, free software philosophy and how I apply it to the software I personally use. This will also include potentially creative writing, but I've yet to really decide on that. That said, I am excited to finally use a platform to inform, educate, and hopefully entertain you along this journey we shall start together. Now buckle up. We're going for a ride today. Let us get started into the first question of this series, which is, what are your thoughts on Call of Duty Black Ops 6? That is indeed a very good question that I had done some research on. To keep things brief, I will not play it because it is slop. Everybody should know what slop is by now, but for those that don't, this is a term used for AI-generated content that is absolutely horrible, bizarre, and downright plagiarized. Black Ops 6 has tons of AI-generated content in it, since Activision has no intentions on doing anything to consider paying an artist to make some good art. No, we can't have that in a gaming industry clearly owned and operated by suits who use AI for nefarious means and dark patterns galore. Can we mention, too, that the game is unplayable on a GNU Linux operating system, even if it is fully capable? Now, this has to do with the Ricochet anti-cheat, in heavy air quotes. Because this is literally a rootkit disguising itself as an anti-cheating software. It uses root access to your kernel. In other words, this anti-cheat, quote-unquote, has direct access to all of your files, no matter how deep they are, on your machine if you use Windows. It definitely shows that you don't own your computer if you use Windows. On Linux, however, it will only write to those files that are sandboxed, using either Wine for non-Steam games or Proton for Steam games. For example, I can't play Apex Legends any longer on Linux because Linux players cheat. That is EA's excuse for it. No, that is not true. You gift-wrapped, multi-layered skull AAA wolves. That is not what Linux players do. It's a stupid rootkit you call an anti-cheat, named Easy Anti-Cheat, that can easily be bypassed by Windows script kiddies who want to ruin everyone's lives playing the game that has said anti-cheat. Now, don't get me wrong. I am all for anti-cheats as long as you don't have to access a PC's files to do what you need to do with it. Take Valve's anti-cheat, for example, which uses only the game files. How is it that Valve's anti-cheat is good despite being easily bypassed? The answer is that it's easier for those privacy-minded individuals who know Valve won't reach their grubby hands into those sweet, sweet registry files on Windows. What about server-side anti-cheats, like Punkbuster if you're old school, or any other server-side anti-cheat instead of client-side malware, like EAC, BattleEye, or Anti-Cheat Expert? Well, EAC and BattleEye are supported on Linux too, if you have the know-how. Plus, you can play a good majority of those games using a special runtime on Linux provided by Valve themselves. designed also for Proton. Just have those installed, run a game that's supported with said anti-cheat, and you're good to go. If that stupid little box to support Proton is turned on. The best place to go for modern games, and some older ones, that do not have native Linux binaries, or have absolutely trash Linux binaries in some cases, will be the Proton database, or ProtonDB. There, you can search for a game and see if it works well on Linux. Most will be gold rated, and that's what I would recommend. Gold or higher will be good for anyone. Some games work perfectly fine on Linux, as long as you follow what people seem to do in order to get the game working. It's not that hard to do if you've been using Linux so long like I have, going into 5.5 years of using these OSs. Or really 4.5, if I think about it. Now, you could have seen on Kokiwul's Nation, linked below, that I started to play Black Ops 2 with Plutonium recently. And that's the game I would recommend for those looking to get into a good, fast-paced COD title for controller players like myself. The condition is that it should not be $100 in order to get the game with all the necessary DLC. If you don't want that $100 price tag, or cannot wait for it to go on sale, I think the all DLC unlock in Plutonium would be a good thing too, personally speaking. Plutonium also gives you a chance to play the game without the cheating nonsense of Activision's servers, not to mention the exploits, which are pretty rough. They are pretty disgusting from what I've read. On Linux, Plutonium with Black Ops 2, plus Black Ops 1, World of War, and potentially Modern Warfare 3, or IW3 version, may actually work extremely well. It does for me. So I would recommend this combination to keep yourself safe while playing COD. Maybe all the way up to Advanced Warfare and Infinite Warfare, if there are Plutonium-like mods designed for those games too. Now, all that out of the way, I want to get into why I use almost exclusively free Libre open source software to do my content creation work. Now, yes, if you are a Windows user, you may be saying, why not just use Windows? Everybody else is doing it. There are several reasons why I only use almost exclusively free Libre open source software if and or when applicable. Now, the first reason I'm going to get into is simply the privacy. Windows is not private by default because Windows is not secure against many malware attacks. The best antivirus is common sense. We have unfortunately lost common sense a long time ago. Now, as far as I am personally aware, anybody who is using Windows is not private. This is the most public you can go. Now, there are versions of Windows, like Enterprise Editions, where you can turn the telemetry off, but that is only for enterprise customers who are willing to pay a lot of money for a license to a piece of software, an operating system, you cannot take a look at the source code for. There are attempts to restore privacy for Windows like Atlas OS, which apparently is an extremely good alternative to either Windows 10 or Windows 11. This takes a lot of the bloat and the junk, you know, the telemetry junk, especially recall, out of Windows. Though I think it's based upon Windows 10. I would have to take a look into Atlas OS some more. But that's the first reason as to why I only use, almost exclusively rather, free Libre open source software if and where applicable. The second reason as to why I do this is because I love owning my computer. If you use Windows or Mac, you don't own your computer. You're just essentially renting a license that can and will be revoked at any one time. On Linux, you own the software because the license allows you to own the software and do whatever you want with it within reason. Now, I am currently using CacheOS, which is an Arch-based Linux distribution designed for content creators such as myself. Now, I do a lot of content creation. I've been doing gaming. I've done a lot of tutorials on how to use Linux properly. I've done even reviews of software, like when I recently did Novel Writer, which, yes, has actually been on the docket for a while. I did actually tag Thomas Morosky of Switch to Linux with his alternate channel called Writing Done Right for that. But I digress. Owning a piece of software means you get to do whatever you want with it within good reason. And within ethical reasons as well. In my case, I tend to use software with what is called a free software license, like GPL, MPL, BSD. Some say MIT is also a free software license, but I wouldn't argue that's not the case. Even though the license is definitely permissive, one of the most permissive licenses I've seen, it really depends on what you think about MIT license. But I digress about that. If you use any piece of software with a license that allows you to look at the source code and study it, modify it, use it, and share copies as long as they follow the license, whether they be modified or not, this is the beauty of free Libre open source software, which a lot of corporations seem to be starting to embrace, but with ethical source software, which is a whole other can of worms. I'll go into the third reason now as to why I use almost exclusively free Libre open source software for my work. And this is simply because I can secure my own stuff with common sense. If you do not have any security, privacy will not come along with it. Now, some of the same things in the privacy section can also be applied to the security section as well, especially when it comes to saying stuff on the internet that could potentially incriminate you in the future. This is a prime example of bad OPSEC. Now, bad OPSEC is what leads to a lot of people getting into legal trouble simply because they have divulged too much information, or they weren't using proper security protocols or privacy protocols for that matter. If I cannot be left alone, my OPSEC is going to be extremely bad. But this is what some people want. I don't want that, which is why I try to improve my OPSEC every day, even if it is just a little bit. That said, let's get straight into the next section, which is the software I will be highlighting for today. Now, for the music in between each of the sections of today's episode, there is one common denominator that I have yet to mention. Unless, of course, you've already heard me talk about this on my second channel at Nixendoig on YouTube, which is the fact that every single one of these pieces of music is mine. And I used a software called Ardor to do it. Now, I first heard of Ardor when I was looking for an open source DAW. I stumbled upon a set of videos on Ardor 6, which was the latest version at the time, I think. And these videos were made by the likes of Tobias Karon. You may have known him as Anfa. Now, Ardor is a LibreWare DAW. You do need to pay for pre-compiled builds, but there are community builds. I'm using the community build from the Arch repositories. I think it's actually in the Cache repositories too, and I think that's where I got it from. But anyway, the long and the short of it, this is essentially a professional grade DAW. Now, I have used my fair share of DAWs in the past, the likes of GarageBand and, shoot, I've even used BandLab and Logic Pro. The most professional before Ardor was Logic Pro for me. But now, I think Ardor, being open source and not under a subscription model, I'd rather pay $50 for pre-compiled binaries anyways, unless someone already made it under the terms of GPL with an Arch package, for example, or a Debian package or an RPM, whatever. For these professional features and more, you only have to pay $50 for it. Now, you can go as little as $1 a month to support the developers because this is GPL licensed. Now, as far as I am aware, in the context of music production, you could do most of your music production things using this software. For example, my music production process, as of late, has been using the likes of Sviz for SFZ files, though in some instances I ended up using Liquid Sviz. For an EQ, I've decided upon LSP plugins because a set of plugins, really robust ones too, called EQ10Q no longer work with versions 8.4 and above for some odd reason that is GTK2 related. And there are some other plugins. I also use a lot of X42 plugins as well. X42 plugins are actually nice and simple for me to use. But I really want to dial in my sound, which is why I am resorting to using LSP plugins now. For guitar plugins, that's where Guitarix and the GX plugins come into play. And I personally love using Guitarix on guitar SFZ files. That is actually something really good. I am actually working on a project that is similar to what Ben Jordan, who you may have known as the Flashbulb, did some time back, where I just keep my mouth shut and just make music in Ardor. So I have that project coming up. Now, that said, with Ardor, you can do a lot with it. Yes, even with you sidechainers out there, you can sidechain and knuckles. Obviously, I had to add that in there for you gamers out there because, yeah, I do be like that sometimes. Hey, wait a minute. I believe that is the music going off, which means I am out of time for today's episode. Each episode will be made every week, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time. You can listen to this podcast on YouTube, but also Wavelink and any podcast 2.0 compatible player. That being said, I am out of time for today's episode. Thank you and good night.